Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We're really in for another treat today, and we've got our very own senior pastor, John Norman. And John, Pastor John, is a real man of faith. When he comes to preaching the word of God, he loves just to preach faith and preach hope and life. And this message is right down there, and you're going to come away encouraged from this. So I pray right now that you get your notebooks out. Hey, don't stay slouched in the sofa. Let's lean in wherever you are. Maybe you're on a jog, maybe you're running. Hey, I want you to start taking some notes. Allow this word to speak to you for the season you're in. It's a timely word. I've already had a sneak peek, and it is incredible. And we've also got something a little bit special because it's going to come from a little bit of a different location today. So hey, enjoy the message, and I'll see you after.
Welcome home, everyone. We are on a new location in the warehouse today. How cool is this? All the vans, the boxes that are coming in and out as we redistribute food all across the county. And we just wanted to give you a little taste of kind of what's been happening behind the scenes during this crisis. Our team have done phenomenal. So big thank you. Come on, everyone write a comment right now saying thank you to every volunteer, every staff member who's making this miracle happen. And I want to let you know that as of today, we have distributed over 250,000. That's right. 250,000 meals have gone out of this warehouse to some of the most needy people in our county. So we're just blown away. And that's why today is a little bit of a celebration and a thank you to everyone who's made that possible. You know, people, you know, our team, they drive to Ipswich, pick up the food from the big warehouse there, bring it back here, unpack it, put it into the boxes, and then put it into the van. It's driven to the various home schools. And so well done. Thank you. We are proud of every one of you. Well, this will be our final message in the Forward series. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've loved bringing it into your home. And it's been a fantastic series. But next Sunday, and it's Father's Day next Sunday. So we're going to be celebrating all the dads next Sunday. And we're launching a brand new series called Name Above All Names. Name Above All Names. We're going to be going through, you know, God has over 100 names. And we're going to be unpacking so many of these names, and next week's going to be Abba Father, my Father. So I'm looking forward to sharing with you next Sunday as we celebrate our dads. So if your dad has not been to church yet online, this is a great opportunity to invite him to come along and sit and watch church. And we're really going to honor, love, and speak life into all the dads in our church as well. Okay, well, our series quote has been, it's time to write a new chapter in the Forward series. And I believe that we are writing a new chapter in the history of our church, but also writing a new chapter for you in your life. And if there's anything that has the potential to write a new chapter, it's faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Over the last few weeks, if anyone's honest, I'm going to be honest here. I've had a few negative moments, a few negative days. Anyone else had a few good moans out there? You know, but God's not impressed when I moan, when I'm negative. You know, we can moan about the weather. As Brits, you know, a couple of weeks ago, it was just too hot, wasn't it? I was saying to my wife, I'm too hot, I can't get to sleep. And now we're moaning because it's raining. We love a good moan. And, you know, it's so easy to slip into a negative or a negative mindset. But God ain't impressed with that. What moves God is faith. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. God moves according to our faith. You know, when I move forward in faith, God moves. And every miracle in the Bible is because somebody moved. Somebody took a step forward. And in this season, I'm believing that our church family, which is you, we are going to see unprecedented miracles in our lives. I want to encourage you not to allow fear to stop you moving forward in this season. You know, the enemy, his plan is to keep us trapped in our homes, isolated, in fear, feeling anxious. That's the enemy's plan. The devil wants to furlough our faith. I know many of us have been furloughed from work, but the enemy wants to furlough our faith. Why? Because it stops us moving forward. I want to encourage you to unfurl your faith today. Expect miracles, expect healing, expect blessing, expect promotion in your life. You know, for Chantel and I, we made a decision a few weeks ago that Corona has no more right at our table. No more right in our conversations. It's stolen enough of our time. It's stolen enough of our energy and our emotion. And today, I want to encourage us, we are going to unfurl some faith in this house because we are moving forward. So my message is titled today, Unfurled Faith. Now, we are in a food warehouse. I love this. First time I've ever preached in a food warehouse. It feels cool. And I think there's only one story that springs to mind if we're talking about food, and it's the famous story of Jesus speaking to the 5,000. And every day, it's quite funny, it's quite ironic that every day as a church, we feed over 5,000 meals to individuals and families in our church. And Jesus teaches his disciples in this story. In fact, this story, this miracle is the only miracle mentioned in all four Gospels in the New Testament. I believe that's because this has a significant story with significant meaning. And Jesus teaches his disciples three steps in this story to unfurling their faith. We're going to read from Mark chapter 6. This is Mark's recollection of events that day. It says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Jesus directed them to have the people sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten that day was 5,000. It's a pretty cool story. I know that was one of my favorites as a child growing up, Jesus feeding 5,000 with so little. But if we could summarize that story in all four Gospels into one line, I think it's this. And I want to encourage you, this is our first takeaway today. Jesus can do a lot with a little. Jesus can do so much with so little. You know, it's humanly and physically impossible to take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and divide them amongst 5,000 people unless you're just going to give them a scale and a crumb each. Unless someone is prepared to unfurl some faith. And hidden in this story are 3 steps. We can read in John's Gospel and Luke's Gospel that it was a little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus. And these are 3 steps which Chantel and I have proven in our own lives. And I know many of you have proven in your life. But if our lives are to move forward and we're going to unfurl some faith right now in this season, here's 3 steps to help us. Number one is this. God, I admit I have a problem I cannot solve. God, I admit I have a problem I cannot solve. Verse 35 says it was late in the day. His disciples came to him and says, this is a remote place. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside so they can buy something to eat. 5,000 plus hungry men and women and children. That's a problem. There was no Tesco's Express. There was no Boots meal deals. There was no Subway close by. It was an unsolvable problem. The Bible says it was a remote place. There was no Uber Eats. There was no way they can just call in Domino's for a pizza. It would have taken hours to fix the problem. And then they said that there's not enough money. In fact, Mark said, hey, it would take half a year's wages. That's equivalent to around £15,000. They have no time and no money. Now, if you have a solvable problem in your life right now, here's the good news. You don't need God. because you can use your own wisdom and understanding to solve it. But I know that there are many people watching right now that you have unsolvable problems. You see, if you can solve your problem, you don't need a miracle and you certainly don't need Jesus. And right now we have, if we're honest, a lot of problems in our society and in our world which we cannot solve. Brexit, COVID-19, the economy, the social injustices and the racism that we've seen on our screens. These are problems that we can't just click our fingers and solve them. This problem wasn't a problem to solve, it was a miracle to behold. Right now we have problems of magnitude that I have never witnessed in my lifetime. And here's what I'm realizing is we've got to stop trying to solve the problem and start bringing God into the mix of the issue. This is where we need to unfurl our faith. Right now, the enemy wants us to be bound up and to live in fear, but God wants you to unleash your faith. And so this week, I started to unfurl my prayers at God. You know, everyone has been telling me that we won't be back in the building this year. And I've been saying to God, you know, God, this is a problem I cannot solve. So right now, I need to fight fear by unfurling my faith. So I need to speak the name of Jesus into this situation. Everyone is telling us that we're not going to get a holiday this year. But I've got to unfurl some faith in my life and declare that anything is possible with God. I'm not sure how we're going to start the new church this year, how we're going to break ground. But here's what I've got to do. I've got to unfurl some faith in my life by declaring the word of God over our church, over our future, over the new building. I wonder what problem that you cannot solve, like the disciples. Maybe you don't have the time, you don't have the money, you don't have the energy, you don't have the experience to solve the issue. This is where God comes into the situation. I want to encourage you right now, stop trying to solve problems that you can't. Give it to God. God specializes in things we cannot solve. We are blessed to have another building opposite Mason Road called Godwin's House. It used to be called Goodwin's House. And I remember it was six times we applied to get a lease on that building and six times we were rejected. We heard a message from Pastor Jensen Franklin at Hillsong Conference in 2018 called The Seventh Hand. I remember my faith just increased in that moment. And I began to unfurl some faith. And I said to our general manager, Alan, I said, I want you to go again. And this time I want you to ask it for free. We're not even going to pay money for it. I'm going to believe God for a miracle. Do you know, we got that building. We got that lease for free. Why? Because something rose up within me and said, we've got a problem that we cannot solve. I want to encourage you today. What problem are you trying to solve that you're not able to? Why does God ask for problems that we cannot solve? That's a great question. Why? Because he wants to show himself real. God wants to show himself real in your life. I want to share a story that happened in the Norman family this week about God showing himself real to us. Like any parents, one of the hardest parts of being a parent is when your children are upset. And on Sunday night, our daughter was, Miracle, was heading back into school. And she was really upset. I could hear her crying. We'd said her prayers. And I went back into her bedroom and she was sobbing. She was really, really upset. And I said, what's wrong, Miracle? She said, Daddy, I'm going back to school, but I don't have any friends. All of her friends weren't coming back. And I said, well, look, Miracle, I can't solve that problem. I can't create a friend for you, but I know someone who can help you. She said, who's that? I said, Jesus. I said, do you believe if we pray right now that God can give you a friend? She just went quiet, so I prayed with her. She woke up and she was still very quiet and went to school. When I picked her up on Monday afternoon, she bounded in the car, smiling and jumping. I said, are you okay? She said, I got a brand new friend. A brand new friend, she said. She was in a different year group. And she was so kind. She said she went through a tragedy. A couple of years ago, she lost her dad. And so I was able to be there for her today and help her. A miracle didn't just have her prayers answered. She was an answer to someone else's prayer. And here's what happens when you bring God into the mix and he proves himself real. He doesn't just answer your prayer. He is the answer to someone else's prayer. I want to encourage you today. Let's not be selfish and keep God out of our problems. Like the disciples, bring him into the middle of your situation. Whether you are lonely, whether you feel isolated, whether you are in debt, whether you are furloughed, whether you are being made redundant, bring him into the mix and say, God, today I have a problem that I cannot solve. And then secondly, to unfurl our faith, we've got to go to God and say, God, number one is I have a problem that I cannot solve. And number two, God, I give you what's in my hand. I give you what's in my hand. Verse 38 says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Jesus says to his disciples, go do a walkabout and find some food. Because guess what? Tesco's is closed. We can't afford pizzas. So now you go and find someone who's willing to give up some food. And they find this kid, this young lad, and he's just got a tuna sandwich. Maybe he bought it from Subway. Maybe it was a 6-inch tuna sandwich. Let's just have a poetic license for a moment. This is when they found, they said, 1 6-inch tuna melt on wheat bread toasted. That's all we have. Now, out of 5,000 people, they only find food on one person. Now, this is what I think. Again, I can't prove it, but this is what I think. Out of 5,000 people, they only find food on one, tells me this. The other 4,999 people were concealing and hiding their lunch. I was tidying up my son's bedroom last week, and guess what I found at the side of his bed? Kit Kats and crisp packets and Easter egg boxes. Because my son is a food concealer. Some would call him a stealer. I'm being very kind in calling him a concealer. And he stashes food. So when daddy and mummy have gone to bed late at night, he cracks into the Kit Kat. And every story needs a hero. And this little boy was the hero of the story. Why? Because he was not a concealer, he was a giver. Jesus did not need anything to perform a miracle. We saw many miracles where he did not need anything. In the Old Testament with the Israelites, he called down manna, he called down bread from heaven. But this is the takeaway for us here today. Our second takeaway. As we're talking about food, it's good to talk about takeaway. God always starts with what we have. God always starts with what we have. Unfurlowed faith begins with what we have. This little boy, he unleashed unfurlowed faith on that crowd. Everyone else was hiding their food. I've got some Cadbury's chocolate. And this is what everyone was doing. They were concealing their lunch. But the little boy said, no, I'm not a concealer. I'm a giver. You know, what is in our hands? What can we give? I've made it easier. I've come up with 3 W's to help us remember the things that we can do. Our words, our wallets, and our watches. Our words, our wallets, our money, and our watches, our time. Our words. You know what? We can unfurlow our faith with the words that we have. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We've got to use our words to unfurlow faith and encouragement and strength and love and hope into people's lives. Now, we're in a time in life where there's so many toxic words being thrown around, whether that's on social media, on Twitter, you know, and people are saying some of the most harmful comments and things. I don't believe that's the life that God's called us to live as Christians. I believe our words are there to build people up and help them. I believe that we can find good in everything and everyone. What about our wallets? Our wallets. God, I don't have much money, but here's what I do have. I don't want to paint a gloomy outlook because there's enough media doing that right now, but you know, it's getting tough out there for people. But the good news is we've got an opportunity to keep helping people and loving people because this is what this warehouse is all about. This is a warehouse. This is a hub of hope. This is a lifeline of love for so many people. Because as a church, we want to give what we have in our hands. You know, just 50p. 50p is enough for one meal. to help a family in our church, to help a family in our community, to help a family in need. So you say, well, I haven't got anything. I say, well, maybe you have 50 pence because 50p can go a long way. This little boy said, hey, all I have is my Subway, my 6-inch tuna toasted melt Subway. But guess what? When I place my little in God's big hands, it goes a whole lot further. Our tithes and offerings. Thank you for being so generous and so faithful and so sacrificial in this season. You might think, well, what is that £25? What does that £100 do? Let me tell you, it's helping a lot of people. It's helped keeping the lights of our church on and keep moving things forward. Our words, our wallets, and our watches. You know, and if we've discovered anything in this season, this COVID-19 season, it's just the power of time, realigning our priorities. So often we say, God, I don't have much time. But this little boy, he gave God what he had. Maybe you can pack some boxes in this warehouse. Maybe you can spare 2 or 3 hours a week to do that. Maybe you can call 5 people. You know, right at the start of this pandemic, we said, everybody choose 5 people. Can you keep in touch with those 5 people? You say, well, it takes half an hour to call them all. It's using the minutes up on my contract. I know it's tough. I want to encourage you to keep using the thing which God has placed in your hand. Keep calling people. You know, the best phone calls are when people call you and they don't want anything. You know, when you get that call and someone wants something, they constantly need to pick something up or get something. But when people just call you to say, how are you doing? You know, someone called me yesterday and said, John, how are you doing? What a great phone call. Why? Because it's in our hands to be able to do that. God will always use what we give him. This little lad, he places his Subway in Jesus' hands. You know, if that was me, I think that day maybe I'd have broken off an inch of the 6-inch and said, use that, but I'll keep the 5 inches. Maybe break off a little bit of my chocolate chip cookie. But this little boy didn't have that attitude. He had the attitude of, I want to give you what's in my hand. We don't know the boy's name. We don't know his age. We don't know where he came from. We don't know his background. All we know is the condition of his heart. See, God takes our time. He takes our words. He takes our resources. And he can use it. You know what? This little boy, he will go down in history. The lesson here for us, the takeaway is this. Don't hide what Jesus needs. Every one of us has something to offer in this season. Maybe it's different to what it was 6 months ago, but every single one of us has something to offer. Whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's packing boxes, whether it's words of encouragement, whether it's a phone call, we all have something to give. I'm so proud of our church because we haven't shied away from this crisis. You know, many of our staff were furloughed, and that was tough to do that, if I'm honest. But you know, our staff decided, instead of just sitting at home, they'd make a difference and they'd come into this warehouse. And instead of doing the things they would normally do, you know, probably skilled jobs in specific areas, I think of Emily. She's our events manager. She's awesome. She decided she wasn't just going to sit at home and watch box sets all day, even though that's fun. She was going to pack boxes and help us in this warehouse. I think that's incredible. So many of our staff and team have made that decision. No, our church hasn't pulled back in their generosity. Thank you. Our church hasn't pulled back with their love. The messages of encouragement. Our church is so loving. Chantel and I could describe our church in one word. It would be loving. So thank you. We can't hide what Jesus needs. God, I give you what's in my hand. This is what happens when Jesus takes, it says in verse 41, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. It leads on to number 3. The third and final statement, prayer to say to God is this. God, I expect a miracle. As I unfurl my faith and as I give you what's in my hand, this is what happens. I have an expectation of a miracle. I have this problem that I cannot solve and I give you what is in my hand. But next is this. I expect a miracle, God. What I expect, I experience. Someone needs to write that down. Someone needs to shout amen. What you expect, you experience. This is why we need to stop expecting a second spike with COVID-19, because what we expect in life is often what we experience. Stop expecting bad news. I was in Sainsbury's a few months ago, and I love Sainsbury's, and I got to the checkout. I was being really happy with this lady. She says, "Why are you so happy?" I said, "Well, I'm alive. Beats the alternative." And I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "Not good." I said, "What? What's happened?" She said, "Two bad things have happened today, and I'm expecting the third, because bad things come in threes." And I looked at her. I was so taken back. I said, no. I said, "Why don't you expect the third thing to be great? Instead of bad news comes in threes, why don't we expect good things in tens?" Don't expect bad news this week. Expect good news. God is a good God. God wants to bless you. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to increase your faith. God wants to unfurl your faith this week. So change your expectation like this little boy and say, "God, I expect a miracle." Remember that song we used to sing? Shall I sing it? "Count your blessings, name them one by one." Remember? "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Woo! How good was that? You know, sometimes you've got to count your blessings. Don't count all the negatives and all the things that have gone wrong in the day. Count your blessings. You'll be surprised. "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I'm expecting my family to be in health this week. I'm expecting this week to be a week of favor. Don't live on Struggle Street. Trust God for miracles in your business. Trust God for miracles. I'm preaching good in this warehouse. Maybe we should have church in the warehouse. This is the miracle. You ready? Verse 42. It says, "They all ate and were satisfied." Wow. Hang on. 15 minutes ago, we've got a problem that we cannot solve. Then a little boy steps up and says, "Hey, I'll give you what's in my hand." And God steps in. Jesus steps in. He says they were all satisfied. Wow. Isn't it good to feel satisfied after a meal? They were all satisfied. 5,000 people. Have you ever been to a restaurant and there's 5,000 people and they were all satisfied? I mean, that's a big statement. Normally you've got Grumpy in the corner and you've got Negative Nigel in the other corner. But no, it says they were all satisfied. You know what God does when you expect something? And you give him something. Here's what he does. He satisfies us. He says the disciples, the miracle doesn't stop there. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. I love this. They are all heading home with doggy bags. Doggy bags. Who loves going to a restaurant and you're so satisfied they say, "Hey, can I put that in a doggy bag for you?" This is what happened that day. I think this little boy might have heard of the reputation of Jesus. Because it was just a few hours earlier that Jesus had raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Imagine this little boy thinking, if he could raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, imagine what he could do with my sandwich. Wow. Jesus' reputation was this. Every person who Jesus got close to, he met their need. For the crowd, this time it was food. For Zacchaeus, it was grace and forgiveness. For Peter, it was solid water. For Lazarus, it was new life. This little boy didn't just witness his lunch going 5,000 ways. He witnessed going home with leftovers. Maybe he went home with a 100-inch Subway. Who's into leftovers? I ain't into leftovers, okay? I'm into that verse that says, "Give us today our daily bread." That's what I'm into. My wife and Brittany lives with us at the moment. Bless her. They're into leftovers, okay? They're really into it. They're like, make more so they can eat it up the next day. I'm like, I want something new and fresh the next day. Anyway, we won't get into that. That's for the marriage course on Tuesday night. But if you're a leftover person, this was a good day to be in the 5,000. A good day. Because you're not just following day. And here's what we learn from Jesus here. This is unfurled faith. God doesn't want just to meet your needs. He wants to exceed them. God is a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above. That's why this week I'm expecting not just to have my needs met, I'm expecting God to exceed them supernaturally. I'm expecting the impossible to become possible. I'm expecting the natural to become supernatural. Come on, would you get some faith unfurled today? I'm believing not just enough for our future, but more than enough. You see this room, I'm believing for enough. Imagine if we fed 1 million people. Wow. Imagine it. Now, can you imagine this little boy arrives home? Just remember, he's gone out all day, maybe into the early evening. His mum's packed him his Subway sandwich. And he gets home and he's got a basket full of Subway sandwiches. And his mum says, "Where did you get all that from?" And he turns around, he says, "I gave Jesus my 6-inch Subway and he multiplied it." You know what I'd say to my kid? Get to your room now. I need to do some investigation to see what's happened today. Would you believe that story? Because I wouldn't. Do you know the story that we're writing right now with Soul Foundation, with our church? I believe it will be a modern day Bible story. I believe that people will talk about these boxes. Because I believe what's happening, every label says Jesus cares. On the hot chocolate it says Jesus cares. On every food item it says Jesus cares. Why? Because we don't just want to meet the needs of our city. We want to super exceed the need of our city. They think they're just getting some food, but actually what they're getting is a gift wrapped in the love of Jesus. Because Jesus cares. And I actually want us to expect, just as we're feeding our city food, I'm expecting hundreds, if not thousands, of miracles to break out in our city. 2020 will be our best year yet, church. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around for his glory. Heart for the House is coming up towards the end of the year on 1st of November, and I've even had well-meaning people say, "Why don't we give it a break this year?" We're not giving it a break because I believe God wants to perform a miracle. Just like this little boy, God wants to prove himself real in our lives. This is our chance to give him our fish and our bread. Whatever I've ever given to God, God has always returned to Chantel and I with more. One obedient young boy, 5,000 plus full bellies. It says in verse 44, the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. You know, thousands of people over this COVID-19 pandemic have given their lunch. You've sacrificed and you've given your tithes and your offerings. And now we're able to reach hundreds of thousands of people. Through online church, we now have a global footprint as a church. People are tuning in. In fact, let us know where you're watching from right now. People are tuning in from all over the world. Why? Because people sacrificed and people gave Jesus what was in their hand. I want to encourage us today to unfurl our faith. Set your faith free again. And I want us to say these three things daily to our Heavenly Father. God, I admit today that I have a problem that I cannot solve. And God, I give you what's in my hands. Whether it's my time, my words, my finances. And God, guess what? I expect a miracle. I expect a miracle, not because of who I am or what I do, but because of who you are, because you are a good, good Father. Jesus would never allow that crowd to go home empty because he cared for them and he loved them. This is why we do what we do, because we love our city. We love our county. Wherever there's need and hurt, I want Soul Church to be in the middle of it. We can't do everything, but we will do something. Why don't we pray right now? I want to pray right now for maybe a miracle for you. Maybe there's been some problems, you've been trying to solve them. I want you to literally let it go today. God wants to partner with heaven for a miracle. For some of you, God is just waiting for you to give him what's in your hand. Like that little boy. Then I want you to tell God that what you want him to do. And get specific. God's not scared away by specifics. You know, for Chantel and I was pretty specific with God this week. I said, we need a holiday. We've been going flat out in this season. I said, God, I can't get through a whole year without a break for a week or two. So I was specific. I was like, God, this year I want a holiday. He was like, okay, now I'm leaving it. I'm not going to stress and strive. I'm going to leave it with him. I wonder what the thing is that you need this year. Maybe it's to pay your rent. Maybe it's to go on a holiday. Whatever it is, I want you to let Jesus in on it. Why don't we pray? Father, right now we are so encouraged by this story. As this little boy unfurled his faith, as he let go of what was in his hand. And Father, I know right now that many of us have been trying to solve and strive to solve the issues and the challenges that we face. Maybe it's in our family, in our workplaces, in our marriages, in our finances, in our health, whatever it is. And Father, we keep hitting walls. But Father, right now, we admit that we have problems that we cannot solve. Father, we're sorry for trying to do it our way. And God, right now, we take this opportunity to give you what's in our hands. Whether it's our time to call some people this week, we'll commit to calling and loving someone. Whether it's with our finances, we'll commit to tithing and giving in this season. Donating, whatever you lead us to do. And Father, we commit, Father God, to expecting a miracle. Father, I pray right now for unfurled faith on our church. I pray that faith would rise up in people's hearts and in people's homes. I pray that those who've been struggling in fear right now, I declare the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name, into businesses, into hearts, into homes, into every areas of people's lives. And Father, I pray that faith would rise up because faith pleases you. And Father, we would keep moving forward by the power of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that word blessed you today. I pray this week you'll take it to heart and you will keep unfurling faith. You'll keep giving God problems that you cannot solve. Keep giving him what's in your hand and keep expecting God for miracles. We love you, church. And next week, we're going to be coming to you live from our home. See you then. God bless.
Wow. What an incredible message. And I hope that spoke to you where you're at. And I love that point that Pastor John so eloquently put. Is about how we can't solve all our problems. We've got to give the problems we cannot solve to God. And the greatest problem that we've ever faced as human, as man, is the fact that we're separated from God by sin. You see, I love the fact that God solved that problem for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be made whole, so we could be born again, so we could have a second chance, that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so we could stand before God blameless, holy in his sight, but not by our own works, but by what Jesus did for us. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe you understand that you are not right with God and you want to do something about it. Well, right now you can. And it's a very short, powerful prayer, but it accepts Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If you'd love to say that prayer with me, I'd love to lead you in it and would love to walk you through this next season. And if you say, Sam, today I want to respond to the love of God. I want to recognize that Jesus died on the cross so I could be forgiven. I'd love you to join with me in this moment. If you'd like to, you can put your hand in your heart and you can close your eyes and just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, right now I give you my life. I'm sorry for all the times I've got it wrong. I understand that my sinful nature is a problem I cannot solve on my own. I recognize that you died on the cross so I could be made whole. I receive that free gift for me right now. I'm sorry for how I've lived my life and I turn away from living a life without you. From this day forward, help me live for you. Show me how I can live in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you said that, we'd love to know about it. And we've got a couple of things you can do. You can either jot down in the comments that you've made a decision, and we'd love to walk you through there, and we'd love to get in contact with you. We'll call you. We'd also love to give you a gift as well. Make sure we get a Bible to you. But if you can't get a Bible right now, but you'd love to get into the Word, well, there's also YouVersion, and it's a free app. You can find it on iPhone stores or the Android stores, and you can start reading the Bible, start reading the Word of God, because that transforms our lives. Well, hey, I think you agree with me. That was an incredible service. And I'd love to give a little thought around our giving today. And there's a proverb. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. It says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight."
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.